You are listening to The Christian Commute, a commute-length podcast about Christian apologetics, theology, and other matters of Christian interest. Here is your host, Seth Dunn.
It is Tuesday, July 17th. This is The Christian Commute, and you're riding straight home with me. It's kind of dreary out, so I'm not going to put my sunglasses on in case anybody was wondering. Kind of a slow day for me. I just have to say, I'm killing it at work right now. I'm just like making all kinds of awesome spreadsheets. But the thing about making awesome spreadsheets is once you automate your calculations, there's no more calculations to do. Oh no! Look at me, now I'm stuck behind this tractor trailer, pulling right out onto the road. Hopefully he doesn't go slow in front of me. I have a full show today. I have a question in the inbox about Buddhism. And let's see here, today's show title is Every Believer a Blogger. Every Believer a Blogger. And today's Bible chapter review. Oh, look at this. Look at this. This tractor trailer stopping in front of the railroad tracks. This is going to delay me getting home by tens of seconds. Today's Bible chapter review comes from Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. I don't know if you guys appreciate how much getting behind this tractor trailer interrupts the flow of the show. Because I like to be beyond the introductory small talk and into the Bible chapter review as I pull along the freeway. There's something about being on the freeway that makes the Bible chapter review flow. And some of you are sitting there saying, Seth, I thought garbage time was supposed to be at the end of the show. But when I'm on a side road trying to do the Bible chapter review with all the requisite stopping and turning and looking at all the people around you, it's harder to do it. So here I am wallowing in the mire of a slow show. I think I'll pressure you guys to send in inbox submissions. Guys, I'm almost out of inbox submissions. I have, let's see. I got one from Jeff today. I've got one from Michael from Arizona. Michael from Arizona has woken back up and sent one in. And I think I've got, three. It's Tuesday. It feels like a Wednesday, but it's Tuesday. So guys, come on. Send in those questions about Christian apologetics and theology to SethDunn88@gmail.com. Oh, by the way, while I'm not doing normal show stuff, let's pray for Michael from Arizona. His wife is sick. So, you know, when I get down to this prayer list, Michael from Arizona, his wife is quite ill. Brother William's mother-in-law is quite ill. And Dr. Harold Hunter of the Trinity Evangelical Divinity School and Seminary in Indiana. He's pretty sick too. So why don't you guys stop the show? Pause the show for a few seconds and lift those people up to the Lord. Two very important members of the Christian community there, and Brother William and Michael from Arizona. All right, now I'm pulling onto the freeway. Now I'm ready to get going. Sorry, guys, for the slower part of the show. Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. So here we see the theme of thankfulness that we talked about in yesterday's Bible chapter review, continuing. So Paul says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom and teaching. And he gets to this part. What does that lead to? Well, it leads to admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But what does that go back to? It goes back to letting the word of Christ richly dwell within you. If you're just unaware or ignorant of the word of Christ, if it doesn't dwell within you, you're not going to be as effectively admonished by hymns and spiritual songs. You get it? So you dwell in the word of God, then you sing about the word of God and give psalms, and that it's kind of a little cycle there. Because you're richly dwelling, because the word of Christ is richly dwelling in you, you're admonished by other people who are proclaiming the word of Christ. So we see something here. The peace of Christ rules you. The peace of Christ is ruling in your heart. That's from yesterday's review, verses 14 and 15. The peace of Christ rules you, and the word of Christ dwells in you. So you're ruled by the people of Christ, or I'm sorry, you're ruled by the peace of Christ, and in that peace, you are indwelt by the word of Christ. So we take Christ's commandments seriously here. This is how we live our lives. We seek to be Christ-like, and we admonish others to be Christ-like. And whatever we do in word or deed, so whether we're speaking or acting, we do that in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we give thanks through Jesus to God the Father. So again, we see there's this attitude of thankfulness. You're at peace because you're thankful for what you have in Christ. And you're singing to one another. You're giving psalms, singing hymns. You're giving encouragement to your fellow Christians because you have thankfulness in your hearts to God. It's not necessarily because of it, but with it. It coincides with it.
I'm stuck in traffic. It's very difficult. It's very difficult to talk about encouraging one another in Christ when I'm in this kind of rainy day traffic. There's the person in front of me, there's no license plate. So I can't tell if they're a Yankee, but I bet they are. So sorry for the long silence. Boy, today's an awkward show, isn't it? Very ill-timed, but that's what happens. Oh, come on. This is just a traffic nightmare for the Christian commute. Now I've got a semi in front of me, like trying to get over, and then he goes halfway over. He can't decide if he wants to get over, and now he's over. All right. Here, I look back in the left lane. Here we go. And I got somebody up there in some weird-looking car going slow. Don't they know? I mean, this is a loving your neighbor type thing. Why do you go slow in the fast lane? Do you not care about the people behind you? It exponentially affects others when you're a poor and or slow driver. But this, I want to ask you guys, are you taking this scripture seriously? How often do you encourage or admonish a fellow Christian and say, well, you know, like Jesus would say, or like Jesus would do, or like the Lord commanded us to do, blah, blah, blah. Do you use Scripture or the example of Jesus Christ, which we know from Scripture, to admonish fellow Christians? Are you so thankful that of what God has done for you in Christ Jesus that you want to remind others about it? About what God has done for them, or about what Jesus has done for them, or no, about what God has done for them in Christ Jesus. Goodness, the Trinity. The Muslim listeners are laughing, like, you Christians can't even keep up with it. Muslims don't talk like that. You Christians, you cannot even keep up with it. I guess that's how they talk, because they're from the Middle East. Okay, I'm going to let the Bible chapter review end right there. Great scripture. Would have been a good Bible chapter review. These particular two verses were set up for my format exactly, but traffic.
traffic was not to let it be a cohesive and well-flowing Bible chapter review. Oh well, let's see if I can do better on the inbox. This is how it goes on the Christian commute, guys. I'm not recording this in a studio or in my mom's basement like many podcasters do. I'm in the road. There's no second take. It's not live, but it might as well be. Somebody might say, well, you don't have to upload it. Hey, listen, it's not so bad that I can't upload it. Elsie from Pennsylvania writes in. Elsie, longtime submitter of questions. I think she's at platinum, sapphire, silver elite status by now. Elsie has a friend, and this friend claims to be a believer. So Elsie has a friend who says she's a Christian. Why do you believe she's a Christian, Elsie? Where does she go to church? Of what church is she a member? Is it some wishy-washy denomination? Is it the seeker-sensitive church? Is it the Hillsong wannabe church? How about a little more detail on this person? So here's this person who claims to be a believer, and this person has made the observation that Buddhism is not a religion and that it does not conflict with Christianity. So Christians can practice Buddhism. And this friend of Elsie's has opened a salon, named it the Karma Salon, and put a statue of Buddha out front. Okay. So Elsie's friend has named a salon after a pagan religious belief, put a pagan idol in front of it, and said, this is totally Christian. All right. So what are we supposed to say to Elsie's friend, or what is Elsie supposed to say to her friend? Where Elsie simply asked me, her question was, what is a good resource to give to my friend to read on Buddhism? I would recommend, like I always do, the Watchman Fellowship Profile Notebook of Cults. There's an entry on Buddhism. So all she has to do is Google Watchman Fellowship Profile Buddhism, and it should be the first or second thing that comes up. It'll be the 3 to 4 page summary on what Buddhism is and how it is or is not incompatible with Christianity. Now, for those listening, hey, Elsie, how about this? How about you send your friend a link to the Christian Commute, and I will explain to your friend why she's totally, totally wrong. Okay, Buddhism, is it a religion or not? Well, does it have a system of spiritual principles, and does it teach a morality? If you want to just take a base level to say, is it a religion? Yes, Buddhism is a religion, okay? Oh, wow, here's some hard rain. So, can somebody be a Buddhist and be an atheist? Here's the thing, because you wouldn't think this of a religion. Yes. All right? There are a lot of different kinds of Buddhism. There are even atheistic forms of Buddhism where you don't have to believe in God. So, I do not purport to be an expert on every different kind of Buddhism. There's lots of kinds of Buddhisms, all right? But when it comes down to it, the overall system of Buddhist thought is religious. It stems from Hinduism. That's where it came from. In the same way where someone could say that Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormonism, arguably even Islam, they branched out from Christianity. Somebody could say that Buddhism branched out from Hinduism. But let's start with what your friend's actually done. Because, Elsie, your friend is the one saying that Buddhism does not conflict with Christianity. Well, let's look at what she named her salon. Karma. She named it the Karma Salon. So what is karma? All right. That is a religious principle. And basically, karma, it comes down to this, that you're living a life. And in your good deeds, you build up good karma. And in your bad deeds, you build up bad karma. You're either acquiring karmic debt or paying it off. I think it's called moksha, but I'm not sure. So here's a misconception of karma, is that if I do something bad today, something bad is going to happen to me tomorrow. That's not the concept of karma in Hinduism and Buddhism. Now, the concept of karma is that
throughout your life, you either wipe out or build up karmic debt. And after you die, you're going to reincarnate either into a better or worse lot in life based upon what you did with karma. Either paying off the karmic debt or building it up. So what does the Bible teach? It's appointed to man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But with karma, there is an inherent belief in reincarnation. Not a Christian afterlife, but in a reincarnation. And in an afterlife, which progressively goes on and on, in which you're judged on your works, on your merits, on whether you were good or bad. So karma is absolutely antithetical to a Christian view of the afterlife and a Christian view of salvation by grace and not merit through works. So there you go. There you go, Elsie's friend. That's karma is not at all applicable, or I'm sorry, not at all compatible with Christianity. Now, if you want to sit here and say Buddhism is compatible with Christianity, well, no kind of Buddhism that believes in karma, all right? Now, let's look at the statue of Buddha, okay? Now, Buddha is not God. He's not thought of as a god in Hinduism. So he's not like Ganesh or Vishnu or Shiva or Brahma or any of the other countless Hindu gods that they have. Who's the one I'm trying to think of? Tip of the tongue. Krishna, sorry. Buddha is not a god, but rather Buddha is thought of as an enlightened soul who reached a state of nirvana because he understood existence. So Buddha reached nirvana, and if people follow Buddha, they can reach nirvana. Buddha was a historical person. He's not worshipped as a god. He's not like Jesus to Buddhists or anything like that. But Buddhists do have statues of Buddha. So you can say, is it a graven image or not? Because it's not of a god and nobody worships it. But people look to Buddha for guidance. And what does it look like to the plain, average, everyday person? If you're an Eastern idolater and you're walking by the Karma Salon and there's a statue of Buddha, are you going to think a Christian owns it or an idolater like you? All right? And if you're a Christian who's come out of Hinduism and Buddhism for salvation in Jesus Christ, isn't that like a meat sacrificed in an idol temple to you? Isn't that an affront to you? So what does that do to your brothers and sisters who've come out of pagan idolatry when you say, oh, I'm a Christian and I just have this decoration, this Buddha salon out in front of me? Now let's get down to the principles of Buddhism. If I was a Buddhist, I would be aghast at somebody who opened a salon and named it the Karma Salon and had Buddha out front. Because one of the principles of Buddhism is detachment, all right? When you see a Buddhist monk, you know, these bald guys in a robe, are they dressed in a flashy way? Are they, you know, they're certainly not concerned about their haircut, are they? Buddhists believe in detachment and not holding on to earthly attachments, I should say, like attachment to material goods, even attachment to your families. Because once you give up your attachment to the creation, then you can, when you die, you cannot reincarnate and then merge with creation or merge with the universe, merge with Brahma, and reach a state of nirvana. All right? The end of Buddhism is not heaven or hell. It's not dwelling with God forever. The end of Buddhism is to cease to exist. And in order to cease to exist, you have to learn to give up your attachment. All right, so Christianity teaches you to love God and love your neighbor, to be attached to the church, to be attached to your family. It certainly doesn't teach you to be materialistic, but it teaches you to be a good steward of resources and to care about God and His creation. In other words, to be attached to the material world, which God is going to make anew. All right, we're looking for the material world to be remade perfectly. We don't want to be attached to this sinful world. But we're going to have eternal conscience life in the new heavens and the new earth. That's the end of Christianity. The end of Buddhism is annihilation and non-existence. Buddhist and Hindu heaven is the same thing as Seventh-day Adventist and Jehovah's Witness hell. Annihilation. Nothingness. An end. So, Buddhist principles, whether you want to be a religious Buddhist or a theistic Buddhist or not, is to give up your attachments. So, I can't imagine a serious practitioner of Buddhism going to the karma salon to be all worried about how they look. Oh, let me go to the salon and get my hair done and get my nails done and get my eyebrows waxed and get a pedicure and, you know, I'm going to color my hair. All these cosmetic things that happen at a salon, a Buddhist priest wouldn't have anything to do with it. They're not concerned about fashion and looks. They're detached from those things. So your friend doesn't understand two things. Elsie, she doesn't understand Christianity, and she doesn't understand Buddhism. All right? I doubt very seriously that your friend has been discipled. I'm not going to say somebody I never met's not a Christian, but she doesn't seem to be acting like a Christian who understands what the Bible teaches. Obviously, she has some familiarity with Buddhism, because she's named her business the Karma Salon, she's made this statement to you, and she's made the claim that Buddhism is compatible with Christianity. Listen, Buddhism is a religion. It is a religious way of thinking, all right? It's not just a system of thought. If you want to say, you know what, I don't want to be materialistic, all right? That's not a religion, all right? There's plenty of people who aren't materialistic and aren't consumeristic, and don't get hung up on things. That's not a religion. That's just a way of thinking. All right? So yes, if you want to say a way of thinking that is like Buddhism is that I don't want to be materialistic and I don't want to get attached to cars and clothes and homes and even places. By the way, if you're a Christian, you're going to be attached to people. Sorry, you're going to be. So that blows Buddhism out of the water. But if you want to have that system of thinking and it's not a religion, fine. But that's not Buddhism. That's just something that's like Buddhism. Okay? So when you think of systems of thought, say like capitalism. Capitalism is a system of thought that markets should be free and that people know best. People know their own self-interest best and that the free market should be left to drive the economy rather than central planning. That is a system of thought. It does not conflict with Christianity, but it's not specifically Christian. Christianity doesn't teach capitalism. You could have a Christian society that's a monarchy, that's not capitalistic. So there are lots of systems of thought, economic or government, which don't conflict with Christianity, but aren't taught by Christianity. You can think of those, that's fine, but you know what's not one of them? The religion of Buddhism. All right? If you're a Christian, why in the world would you not want to follow the teachings of Jesus and the apostles versus the conflicting teachings of the Buddha, who was a real ancient dude? I think the Buddha actually lived before Jesus was born. Not before Jesus existed, because Jesus is eternal, because he's God. But I think Buddha was born before Jesus. You can look that up. I think Buddha was kind of a wealthy guy. He might have been a prince. And then he's like, I'm going to give all this up. Hinduism's bogus. I'm going to do this thing. And he was very well respected. So to summarize, Elsie, no, Christianity is not compatible with Buddhism or vice versa. And have your friend look up the Watchman Fellowship. Now, the chances of your friend changing her business name after she's already filed the papers with the government, bought a sign, advertised, and bought a giant picture of Buddha. You know what? If your friend repents of her sins and becomes a regenerate believer, she'll do that. That's going to be the test. All right? If your friend is a true Christian, she's going to stop all this Buddha stuff once she learns the truth. Right, because a true Christian is not going to be able to give any kind of affirmation to that kind of pagan idolatry and wickedness, which is so offensive to Christ. It's one thing for a Christian to be ignorant and read a stupid meme on the internet and think, oh yeah, Buddhism is compatible with Christianity. It's another thing to run your business by it. All all right? Because any Christian, once they learn what Buddhism is going to be like, oh, ugh. Boy, that's Antichrist type stuff. So, Elsie, thank you for writing in. What is wrong with people? I mean, I've read a profile about Buddhism, and I've sat in a couple lectures about Eastern religion, all right? I know not everybody has those interests, but my gosh, y'all, I mean, basic common sense. Or how many Buddhist Christians can you find? That's because it's not compatible with Christianity. That's why there's not a bunch of churches in Buddhist areas, because they're Buddhist. I mean, you know what your friend should do? She should talk to a former Buddhist who got saved. I want to say that there's a woman at Johnson Ferry Baptist Church who used to be a Buddhist. I'm not sure if she was Hindu. She's from the that area. You know, I'm not sure, so I'm not going to give her name. Anyway, thanks for writing in, Elsie. Man, that's frustrating. My gosh. Now let's go to today's show topic. Every blogger a Christian, or I'm sorry, every believer a blogger. Every believer a blogger. About, let's see, how long was it? 8 years ago, maybe? Maybe 9 years ago. 9 years ago, I was sitting in Tabernacle Baptist Church in the Sunday service, and a guy came up to the pulpit. His name was Dennis Nunn. And his business, or ministry, whatever you want to call it, was called Every Believer a Witness. And what Dennis Nunn makes a living out of doing, and he's a member of First Baptist Church of Woodstock, to my knowledge, and I think he's based in Dallas, Georgia, if memory serves. What Dennis Nunn does in his business slash ministry called Every Believer a Witness is he goes to churches and he does evangelism training. And his point is, I'm going to come to your church, you know, basically you hire me, you pay for my program, and I do training sessions. So what a church does is they have him on a Sunday morning, he tells his testimony, he plugs the program, and then he invites whoever's interested back for Sunday night training. And then the idea is these people who've had evangelism training go out and evangelize and invite other people to church. And it, okay, spiritually, great commission, people get saved, and economic dollars and cents, the church gets more members and more money. All right, that's how that works. And you, at your church, I mean, even at Tabernacle, they've had more than one. Somebody buys a new program. This is the evangelism training to do. I'm sure you've had it at your church. Maybe some of you in Georgia listening have had Dennis Nunn training. Every Believer a Witness. But isn't that a good name? Every believer a witness, because every believer is supposed to be a witness. So here's a suggestion that I have for you guys. Every believer a blogger. Now that doesn't mean you blog every day or blog every month, but I think every believer should have a blog. You know, just even a free WordPress or free Weebly blog. What's the other type of blog? There's WordPress and there's Weebly. Oh, Tom Rich's blog is, I forget. I'm going to drive myself crazy. But there are any number of free blog sites you can sign up with. I use WordPress, free blog, don't pay a thing, gsethdunn.wordpress.com. And what I think you should do on your blog is you write a blog post, and your first blog post is your testimony. And then, from then on out, you've got a link, a web link for anybody you meet. You can say, you can go read my Christian testimony. My name's so-and-so, I'm so-and-so years old, I'm from here and there, I grew up in a Christian home, or I did not grow up in a Christian home. This is what I did for a living, and then one day I realized I was a sinner and I needed Jesus because somebody shared Christ with me, and I went through this period of thinking, do I need to do this or not? And finally I decided to accept Christ and repent of my sins. It's been the best thing I've ever done, and it's the best thing you could ever do. You're a sinner. You just give your testimony. You can send that. Everybody in the world can read it. Maybe 10 people ever will ever read it, but you just write up your testimony. So you put up your testimony and you put a gospel presentation in a blog. And then you know what? Guess what?
you're a blogger. You don't ever have to write another blog again, but now you've got your testimony on the internet and you've practiced writing it up. And what spurred me on to have this idea today for this thing to exhort you, I'm trying to exhort you, brothers and sisters, through Scripture, Great Commission stuff here. I'm exhorting you. We want to share our testimony. We want to tell what Jesus has done for us. We see people doing that in the Bible. We see Christ give us the Great Commission. All right. Here's one way you can do it in the modern world. Even after you die, your blog testimony will be there. But what gave me the idea is I saw somebody make a post today, and it's from the Pulpit Bunker, which is a closed group, so I'm not going to give names. But basically, oh, by the way, are you a member of the Pulpit Bunker? Anybody? Pulpit and Pen, Pulpit Bunker? All you have to do is join is ask. We talk about the stuff that we write about on Pulpit and Pen. And somebody posted and said, listen, the quote-unquote best church in town, here's what they do. And he starts listing all of these really awful practices at this local church. And I mean, it's supposed to be the evangelical Bible-believing church, but with you know, the guys, like the pastor's giving all this bad advice. It's full of Beth Moore people. And he says, what do I do? And I told the guy, I said, what you do is you write a blog about that church and you post it on Facebook. Is anybody, any of the listeners, do you ever use Yelp? Are you a Yelp reviewer? There's a guy that I used to work with, our old IT guy. And I'd go out to eat with him every week. And wherever he went to eat, he'd take a picture of his food, and then he would later write a Yelp review. I went to this restaurant. It was this many stars. This is what I liked about it. This is what I didn't like about it. And he gave local restaurant reviews. And he enjoyed doing that. It's kind of a hobby. And people like to read his reviews on Yelp. Does anybody, any of you guys do that? How come people do that with restaurants, but people don't do that at church, with local churches? Because you guys can think of the local churches in your town, which is like mark and avoid, stay away from that place. I'm always talking about Cross Point here in Cartersville, Cross Point City Church. Stay away. Stay away. And at my personal blog, I have little articles about Cross Point City Church here in Cartersville. I don't put that on my national blog at Pulpit and Pen because who cares? It's some church in Cartersville. But this guy has identified, this guy in Pulpit Bunker, he's identified all these problems with his church. Maybe some of the people who go there are thinking it, but they don't know. What do I do when there's a problem at church? Most people, they just kind of don't say anything about problems. And my advice with him to him would be to write a blog about it. So here's what I want you to do, guys. This is my encouragement to you, because you guys are thankful about what Jesus has done for you. You're thankful about what Jesus has done for you. Start a WordPress blog. You have a little About Me section. Put a statement of faith on there. If you don't know how to get a statement of faith or what to write, go to gsethdunn.wordpress.com and copy and paste my statement of faith. Hopefully you agree with it. If you don't agree with it, then you're a heretic. So start agreeing with it. Don't post it up there if you don't agree with it. But I'm almost certain you would agree, unless you're an atheist or a Presbyterian. So start your WordPress blog. About me, statement of faith. First entry, my name's so-and-so, here's my Christian testimony. And then just share it on Facebook and say, hey guys, I don't know if you guys have ever heard me share my testimony before about coming to Christ. And I just wanted to share that for anybody. For my Christian friends, I hope this edifies you, and I hope you'll be encouraged to do the same. And for the people who don't know Christ, read this, and if you have any questions, ask me about it. I'd love to talk to you about Jesus. I'll take you to lunch or tell you about it. But start with that, all right? And from there, you can write little devotions if you want to. I read this today in the Bible, and it made me think about this. It doesn't have to be too deep, especially if you don't have theological training. Don't turn yourself into the next Beth Moore or Jen Hatmaker. But another thing you can do is when you find these things in your town, which are antithetical to the Christian faith, when you find these sketchy churches that are drawing people in, write a review about it. I think I might be the only person in the world who's written a negative blog post about a local church. But here's why I did. They let a woman preach. And the woman is in a was in a position of executive authority over men at the church. And it's one of these rock and roll seeker-sensitive churches. And it's growing. They just bought a new building and they're doing construction by my house. All right, I've told y'all before, I'm going to First Baptist in Cartersville now. I have to pass this place to get to First Baptist. So it's right there. I know people who go there. I know people who have left Tabernacle or First Baptist or other Baptist churches in town to go to this place. All right? No one should be going there. So what am I going to do? I'm going to write an article about it. Do I think it's going to shut the place down? No. What if somebody Googles it in town, they move here and they think, let me search this church and find out something about it. They're going to get a theological review from somebody who cared enough to say something about it. So here's the thing. Once you have your blog, the whole world doesn't have to read your blog. It can have a local focus. All right? And I'm not saying, here's what you guys need to do. You guys need to start a blog. And then you got to put your testimony, and then immediately you have to run down some terrible heretic church in your town. You can do that if you want to. I'm talking about, I know one guy who needs to do this. What's his resource to do this? The blog. If I want to say something to Bartow County, which is where I live, and give my theological opinion, I have a resource to do it, and people know it's there. And there's a lot of people who don't like me and don't listen to me, but there's a lot of people who do listen to me. And I don't know if they like me or not. But I know they read my blog because I see my hits. I see the local stories. And that's a resource they can go to locally. I'm not just talking about Christian Commute listeners. Just people who live here. People I know on Facebook. People from Cartersville. They can go there and see what I have to say about whatever's going on in Bartow Baptist life. Who's doing that where you live? Here's the answer. The professional Baptists and professional church people are doing that where you live. So if there's a seeker-sensitive, Beth Moore, rock and roll nonsense church where you are, they're inviting people, they're having programs, they're giving their opinions on the theological life and what the church needs to do in your town. All right? Not you, because you don't have a blog. They're doing it. So when are you going to open up and put your voice out there? So that's my admonition to you guys. Every believer a blogger. And if you never write another blog after your first one, which is just your testimony, the world's already that much better because it has one more person sharing the gospel and one more person saying, hey guys, this is my comment page, this is my comment section, this is my email, somebody call me. What if one person reads it and calls you and you talk to them and they accept Christ? Is that going to be worth it for you? All right? So here's what I want you guys to do, Christian commuters. I want you this week to start your own WordPress blog and publish your testimony. And you can start adding little testimonies. Elsie, if you did one, you could put your testimony. I'm Elsie. Here's my testimony when I got saved. Here's another entry. I am a Christian, and I had a friend who said she was a Christian, but she also said Buddhism was compatible with Christianity. And it really threw me for a loop. So I did some research and here's what I found, guys. Give some helpful links. Yeah, see how simple this is? Anybody can do it. You don't need training. So that's my exhortation for you guys. Do that this week. And here's what I want you to do. I'll plug your blog on the Christian Commute. If you do it, send me the link to your blog, to your first entry, and just let me know you've done it so I can read it. And then I'll say, hey, so-and-so started their blog. Hey, so-and-so started their blog. And again, you don't have to write a million entries or even a second one. Just go write up your testimony. If you've never done it, it's a good idea. Now, of course, I'm talking to you listeners, every believer a blogger. Now you non-believing listeners, and I know there's three or four of you guys. Don't put it off any longer. Say you've been listening to this podcast, you're thinking, you know, let me hear about Christianity. Let's see what this guy says about the Bible. Maybe I need to be saved. You listen to this podcast for a reason, all right? Because It's the truth. It's the Word of God. Brought to you, sharper than any two-edged sword, every day of the week in the Bible chapter review. Not just trying to understand the Christian society you live in. No, no, it's the Word of God. And it has a calling on your life. And it says you're a sinner and you need Christ. Why are you going to go another day without accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and seeking to serve Him and living in truth, living in love, and living in thankfulness like you've never lived in before? So every believer, a blogger, and every non-believer, come to Christ. Repent of your sins today. Repent of your sins. Ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Go to find a good local church. Get baptized. Get discipled. Serve the Lord. But find forgiveness of your sins and eternal life today. Don't wait any longer. As soon as you stop listening to the Christian Commute. And this is the end of it. Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again tomorrow. And until that time, remember, Christianity isn't about getting saved. It's about being saved. But you've got to get saved first to be saved. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Christian Commute. Please send your questions about Christian apologetics and theology to sethdunn88@gmail.com. If you are not a Christian, please remember that you can be reconciled to God through the shed blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Repent of your sins now and accept Jesus as Lord. God bless.